2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, we had an eclipse recently, and I read more than I watch. And some of the preachers were saying that this is going to bring about the last days. I found that interesting, because what are the last days? So I want us to look at a few scriptures here that, by way of introduction, that tell us about the last days. In Genesis, in chapter 49, in verse 1, and I'll read verse 1 and 10. It says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. And then in verse 10, in the intervening verses there, he blessed his children. But in verse 10, he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his feet, between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. So back in Genesis, in the first book that Moses wrote, we see Jacob talking about the last days. Now, if the last days are to be ushered in by some solar eclipse, then there's something wrong with someone's thinking. For in Acts chapter 2, and verse 6, beginning in verse 16 and in verse 17, the scripture says the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, and Peter said this, for there were those there who said, these people are drunk. There's something wrong with these folks. Well, there was something wrong with them, but it was a good something, okay? And Peter said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Now, if that's the case, then according to Peter, they were in the last days. It began at Pentecost. That's what he was saying. Joel had prophesied. Peter said, this is it. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy. In Hebrews, the writer says, in chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Again, the writer is saying, we're in the last days. That was 2,000 years ago. Think about that. In 2 Peter, Peter says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, John writes and says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We're in the last days. We're in the last time. The next events that are coming, some people differ on them. I don't differ on them because the scripture's quite clear. The tribulation's coming and the Lord's coming. The great and awful day of the Lord, the scripture calls it. Or it will be that, and the pastor has spoken on that in two services. And that day is coming. And I think sooner than some think. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And if you look back in Genesis in chapter 6, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I don't think there's a better description than our time. Do you? I'm telling you, it's a wild time. We'll get into that in the first part of the chapter. Perilous times shall come. Perilous times have been and are upon us, I believe. The word perilous, by the way, is only translated twice in the New Testament. That particular word, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, it spoke of when Jesus had gone over to the other side, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Exceedingly fierce times are coming in the last days. Exceedingly fierce times. And I believe we're in there. I am turned on. Just want to make sure it's all right. You don't have to turn it up. I think everybody can hear, can't you? So, we're living in those times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I would direct your attention particularly to verse 7. And verse 7 says, of the last days and of those times, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're talking about people who are all, the word means always, ever, always learning. I don't think there's anything that can more describe what has happened in our world in, say, the last 75 years, maybe 100, maybe a little longer. As I said Wednesday night, the Babylonians knew trigonometry 1,000 years before the Greeks did, more than 1,000 years. And they had a better, more accurate version of trigonometry than did the Greeks. And here we thought the Greeks had invented it all. So learning, man has been learning and gaining in knowledge all through time. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, the angel in talking to Daniel said, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And I think that phrase, "knowledge shall be increased," describes what we in our lifetime have seen. I mean, we've seen men go to the moon more than one time, land up there and walk around. For what purpose, I don't know. It wasted a lot of money, I think. But nonetheless, technologically, look what we've gone through. I mean, I've got this little wind-up watch here that was a great thing back 200 years ago. And nowadays, folks have got watches that keep that time to within split second. I mean, you know, you could launch a rocket by it. I told a fellow one time when he saw me take out my pocket watch and look at it, see what time it was, and he said, "Hey, won't you get you one of these? This thing will tell time within a second for every 7 years." I said, "Well, the next time I fire off a rocket, I'll use your watch." But we live in a time when knowledge is increased. I mean, look at computers. I mean, even 25 years ago, computers, as we know them in our home, and the smartphones that you use, which are computers, were just the figment of somebody's imagination. And now look, you can sit down with your computer and a printer, and you can print a whole book if you want to. I mean, it's amazing what's going on. They have microscopes now that they can put things under, and they can see the atoms. They can actually see germs. They can see viruses, and they can see bacteria. They can see an amoeba and look at it just like it's up on the screen, you see. Now, to me, that's amazing. Knowledge has definitely increased. But I want us to look at three things, and I think we probably may not get to all three of them, okay? If not, if it's all right with you, we'll do the others this evening. We're going to look at depraved learning, disabled learning, and divine learning. In verse 7 it says, "They're ever learning." And we'll look through those first few verses there that we read and see what depraved learning has brought to us. And then he says, "But never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." We'll look at disabled learning. And then the knowledge of the truth, which is divine learning. Now, everybody thinks, even among most Christians and in most pulpits, and Brother Jim was saying before the service, there's a lot of preachers in the pulpit that God didn't call, and I hope he wasn't referring to me, and I know it wasn't. But in any event, that's true. The church has relied upon what? Education. Okay? Some denominations are more adamant about education than others. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with education, per se. It's nice to know how to read and write. And I'm going to go to school one day and learn myself. But if the emphasis is on education, what does that bring us? What is human learning? What does human learning bring us? And if we look there in verse 2, he said, "Men," which literally means humankind or mankind, "shall be lovers of their own selves." Lovers of their own selves. Now, back when I was a boy, my daddy and mama were poor, and we today are poor. But they love their children, and they loved us, and they cared for us, and their thoughts and everything they did was to take care of us seven boys. But nowadays, we see parents leaving their children sitting in a car in a baby seat, child seat, while they go in and drink at the bar or play games or do something else, and the children die from the heat in that car. Lovers of themselves. That is one of the indications of the last days. And he also says they're covetous. They love money. Now, I'm telling you what's true, man. I guess all of us have an affinity for more money, don't we? I mean, it'd be nice to have something we don't have, and the only way you can have that is have more money. A friend of mine's always talking about buying gold. And I said, well, what about those people that bought gold when it was over $1,800 an ounce, and now it's down to $1,300? They kind of lost ground at it. Lovers of money. I said, I'll have to use these old greenbacks as long as they're here, as long as the Lord lets us. As long as they spend, I'll be using the greenbacks. I'm not buying gold. Buying gold does not stave off anything. It does not protect you. Jesus said that we were not to do that. We're not to lay up for ourselves treasures on the earth where the thief can steal and the rust can corrupt it. But we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And that's immortal, isn't it? Treasures in heaven. Treasures with God. Now he said, he speaks of pleasure, and then in verse 4 we'll get to that. Boasters. Now what is a boaster? He's one who exhibits self-importance. I'm sure we met some automobile salesmen that thought they were important. I'm telling you what's true. Met one down in Greenville one time, and he came running out there on the car lot, and he says, my name's Cadillac Black. And blah, 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 blah. He went on with this spiel, and I said, well, thank you much, Cadillac Black. We'll see you later. But that fella had an exaggerated opinion of himself. I think if you just listen to the news today, you look at these people on the news that are involved in politics, and I don't get involved in politics. I do vote, but I don't get involved in politics. But they have an exaggerated opinion of themselves. They think that their opinion is the only opinion. See? I'm kind of that way in some things myself, aren't you? I think my wife is the most beautiful girl I ever met. I think she's the most beautiful girl in the world. I think she's the most precious and wonderful and kind. But that's my opinion. But it's not of myself. It's of the one I love. Now he says they're proud, having or showing arrogance, superiority to, and disdain of those views of others. Now, my goodness. I read, and you remember back at the University of Missouri when they were having, this fellow got shot by a policeman out there. You remember that? About a year and a half ago. I can't remember now. But this black gentleman got shot by a white policeman, and they tried to burn everything down, and they were demonstrating on the University of Missouri campus, and it didn't make any difference what the facts were. Their opinion is what mattered to them. Having an opinion and disdain for the opinions of others. And he says they're blasphemers, those who speak disrespectfully of sacred things. Now, I have to be careful. I was reading a book, a little pamphlet, booklet, that a gentleman gave me about 2 weeks ago. And it was contained devotions for every day. And when I read the one for September 2nd, there was a phrase in it that really caught my attention. And you might not think this disrespectful, but I do. It was speaking of Jesus, and it said that he existed from the beginning. That's disrespectful. For he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He has no beginning of days. He has no ending of days. He always has been. He did not exist or existing at the beginning. I haven't read any of the devotions in that sense because that kind of put me off. Speaking blasphemous, blasphemers, I'm telling you, the world's filled with them. We have folks who are telling us that Jesus is just another man. As a matter of fact, the woman, and you've sung it, and I think the pastor didn't let you sing it on July 4th weekend. The battle hymn of the Republic. It's in the hymn book. You can look it up. The woman who wrote it did not believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. She thought he was just another good man, and by her own work she could become just as good as he was. You see, be careful of the songs you sing. Be careful of the words that are in them. It starts out, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. Was he? Was he born in the beauty of the lilies? Well, why do we sing songs like that? Those kind of things are blasphemous. We sit here in this room, and this room, I assume, has been dedicated to the worship of Almighty God. And yet, what do we worship in this room? What do we sing about in this room? Do we worship Caesar? Do we honor Caesar? Is that blasphemous to God? In my opinion, it is. But that's my opinion. And I'm willing to live with you because you will have other opinions. But many things are blasphemous, and we let them go by. It's like the frog. You put him in a pan of water and sit him on the stove and turn that eye on to warm, and that frog will gradually warm up, and he'll sit there until he fries because he never realizes what's happened. That's what's happened in our church, in my opinion. Not just this church, I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. We have set by. We have let blasphemous things and doctrines that aren't correct go by. They just go over our head. We don't even hear what the preacher says, usually. I hope that's not true of you, but that's true of most folks. Disobedient to parents, he says. Disobedient to parents. That doesn't need any explanation, does it? Unthankful. A lack of gratitude. I mean, it used to be that if you stood and you held the door open for a lady and let her go through, she would turn and say, thank you. You hold the door open today for a lady, and don't let it stop you from doing it, but most of them will turn their heads and look away and just keep on walking. Unthankful. That's what it is. This is an unthankful world. Christians really aren't thankful for what God has done for them many times. He says they're unholy. That's extremely evil. And I'm telling you what, this world is filled with those who are extremely evil. Without natural affection, lacking in feeling or pity or warmth for others. We are so comfortable within our own selves and our own environments that we fail ourselves, myself, many times to be concerned with and have sympathy for others who are having their own problems. That's an indication of the last days, by the way. Truce breakers. Now, what's that mean? Unappeasable. Unwilling to forgive or show mercy. My goodness. Poor old Robert E. Lee's taking it on the chin, isn't he? Mm-hmm. A man never owned a slave, never bought a slave, never sold a slave, said that slavery was a moral evil. He was against secession from the United States. But those who have their own agenda are unappeasable. Unappeasable. You cannot satisfy them. Where will it end? It won't end. Because if it's not something like that, it's something else. False accusers. False accusers. one who attacks another's reputation. Incontinent, not denying oneself, not controlling your impulses. That's what it means. Now, some people are impulse buyers, aren't they? You ever been with anybody when you go in a store and you just go in there to look around with these other folks? Oh, man, I gotta have this. That's an impulse buyer. That's the way some folks live their life. On impulse, on emotions. See? With the eyes. And what are the eyes? Somebody said they're revealed the soul, but nonetheless, we need to be concerned with controlling our impulses, controlling our desires, controlling ourselves so that we don't do things on an impulse. And Lord knows I need to be aware of that myself. Despisers of those that are good. That's a lack of respect accompanied by a feeling of intense dislike. Now, do you remember in your lifetime when Christians were so hated? Because we are called intolerant now, because we hold the views of the Scripture. We believe that homosexuality is not just a sin. It is, in the words of the Scripture, an abomination unto God. We believe that marriage is, as the Bible sets it forth, between one man and one woman. We don't believe in what they call transgender. There is no such thing. You're born male or female, and you remain male or female throughout your life. I don't care how many operations they do on you. You're still going to be what you were when you were born. And when that person stands before the great white throne of judgment, they're going to be male or female. There's not going to be something in between. But we're despised because we hold to that which is good, which is the Word of God. Traitors. Now, there's plenty of traitors, aren't there? I mean, if you listen to the news, you'll find that somebody has revealed some kind of secret that the United States holds, a military secret or something, and they have been treacherous to the United States by revealing that to another nation, either selling it to them or otherwise. But anyway, that's what a traitor is one who deserts his allegiance or duty to a leader or a cause or a principle. Heady, defiant disregard for danger or consequences. Boy, I'll tell you, this world is filled with folks who want to jump right in and don't even think about consequences. High-minded, an exaggerated sense of self-importance. Boy, lovers of pleasure, placing the desires of the flesh above God. Now, are we guilty of any of these things ourselves? We're going to have to stop there this morning because it's time for you folks to go home. Is Dan okay? Is he all right? Okay. So this evening we'll look at disabled learning and divine learning. And I hope, I knew I wouldn't get through all this morning, but there's no other way to do it, and that's what the Lord put on my heart. So please come back this evening if you will, okay? Now, we're not going to have a invitation this morning. Okay? That's just what the Lord leads me to do. I'm not all that crazy about invitations anyway. They build on emotion, and God wants you to be concerned with your heart. See? But we'll finish up the learning in the last days this evening, and the pastor will be back next Wednesday night and Sunday, and the Lord knows I'll be happy to see them. Pray for them still. Because we love him, and I appreciate his ministry of the Word of God. Let's bow in prayer.